What prompted your decision to run for District 20?
People ask me. People have been asking me to run for various things for a while, and my instinct was to run and hide when they said that. But I couldn't stand the idea of Holly Grange running unopposed. And I, like so many other women across the state and across the nation, with the things that have been happening since the great national darkness fell in November of 2016, felt like I had to do more than I was already doing. Of course, I became really politically active in Wilmington after HB 2 was passed, and you know, the legislature was playing with my kids' lives and rights. And as a mother, I did what any mother would do, and I stood up and spoke out and screamed and yelled and banged my head against the wall and everything that I could think of to do. When that happened, the Wilmington community really embraced me, and I started seeing that what was happening in Raleigh wasn't just affecting my kids and my family. They were playing with all of our lives. They were playing with our schools. They were playing with our jobs, with our health care. And now they're even just playing around with our drinking water. And so I decided that now was the time for me to step up and take that fight to Raleigh.
When it comes to issues facing this region, what is at the top of the list for you?
Boy, there are so many things that are so important that I want to get done, but all of them would be easier to do if we were working with fair election maps. Right now, with the way the maps are drawn, so that the legislators are picking their voters instead of the voters picking the leaders, each of the legislators is really radicalized because they are running to their base, either to the left or to the right. And as long as we have this radicalized legislature, the real work of governing can't get done because no one's really communicating across the aisle. No one is willing to negotiate, to compromise. It's all posturing and political games. So that is the first step in getting everything else solved. So what I would really like to see and what I will work for first in Raleigh is a state constitutional amendment changing the way we draw the maps. Because let's face it, the Democrats did it for years and years and years. In 2010, the Republicans took over and said, "You think you know how to draw maps? Hold my beer. We're going to show you how it's done." And we have to put ourselves in a position where whichever party is in power, we're not seeing these maps going back and forth to preserve the power of the status quo. So with a state constitutional amendment, we'll be able to permanently fix the way we draw the maps.
How do you feel the issue of Gen X and emerging contaminants in the water supply around here has been handled by the state of North Carolina?
It hasn't. We are 9-10 months into this thing, and they haven't really even taken the first steps. The governor has tried to get funding for the DEQ. Every step of the way, it's just political posturing, the same thing. Special sessions, nothing gets done. It is just a big political game in Raleigh, including with our own representatives. This is just an absolutely absurdist situation that we find ourselves in. And that's one of the reasons that I feel so strongly about this election.
What are your biggest concerns in the area of education in schools?
Boy, there are a lot of them there, too. We need to get teacher pay up. We need to get per student spending up, which obviously increasing teacher pay does that. We need to change the way we look at education. It seems like for the last almost decade, it's just been another political bargaining chip in the schools. This last debacle with the classroom size mandate that was just a ploy to use as a bargaining chip to get other legislation passed. Education is the engine of our economy. Not only do we have a responsibility to take care of the next generation of North Carolinians, we also have a responsibility to build our education system so that we can build our economy. When a company is looking for a place to relocate, after they look at the most basic infrastructure that they need to run their business, the next thing they ask about is schools. Because they know in order to attract and retain good employees, they need a place for those employees to live and bring their families. And you know, and I know, when we go to buy a house, one of the first things we ask the real estate agent is, what are the schools like? If we don't have good schools, we can't attract good businesses. If we can't attract good businesses, we don't have good jobs for people. If we don't have good schools, our property values are not going to increase. If our property values don't increase, our tax base crumbles. If our tax base crumbles, we can't pay for good schools in the future. If we don't get a handle on this soon, we are going to be in a downward spiral that we are going to have a much more difficult time recovering from.
How have you felt about the education that your own children have received here?
Actually, my children didn't go to school here, but I do have a niece who is at Ashley High School. And I'm talking to a lot of parents and teachers in the area. And, you know, there's just not enough resources in the classrooms. Parents are being asked to buy a ridiculous number of supplies. You know, when you and I went to school, we didn't bring Kleenex at the beginning of the year.
Right.
We weren't asked to bring chalk. And of course, now it's not chalk, it's markers.
Yeah.
But we were asked to bring the supplies that we would personally use. And I remember in the back of the classroom, there was always a big box of pencils, mm-hmm. and there was paper there so that if you forgot it, or I imagine, you know, we weren't aware of it as kids, but I imagine there were kids in the class that couldn't afford it, that you just went back and you took what you needed. We were not supplying the general school needs.
We just got word recently that a feature film will start shooting in Wilmington next month, which is good news considering the lull of the last few years. What are your thoughts on the film industry in southeastern North Carolina and what still needs to happen to try to bring it back to where it was in the 90s and early 2000s?
You know, as I've gone around talking to voters, this is probably the number one issue that gets brought up. And I knew before I was running for office that film was important, but I really didn't know just how deep the film industry reached and how wide. From a young woman who told me her grandfather paid for his chemotherapy using location fees, and another gentleman who worked as a set builder who ended up taking a job as a dishwasher, and real estate agents telling me about how many houses they've listed from film workers who were moving out of state, moving to Atlanta and following the jobs. I'm very excited that this new production is coming to town, and we have to really work to bring this industry back, and it's not going to be easy. We need to bring back the permanent film incentives, and I hate to go back to it, but the maps go right into that. This was a political move to send this industry to Georgia. It was just mean-spirited. And so it's going to take a lot of work to rebuild that trust. We also have to repeal HB 142. That was the bill that purported to repeal HB 2. But of course, it didn't really completely repeal HB 2. And people in film understand what the challenges are in terms of LGBTQ rights and the other civil liberties that are being really blocked by HB 142. Until I think it's December 2020, no municipality can pass a non-discrimination ordinance on their own. We need to not just wait for that to sunset. We need to go ahead and proactively repeal that, let places like Charlotte pass the ordinances that they feel they need to protect their citizens. We in Wilmington, I hope, will follow suit and pass similar ordinances. But until people in the film industry see that this is done and we start doing some real work to repair our reputation, we are not going to be able to bring the film industry back. And I have no delusions that this is going to happen quickly or that it's going to be easy, but I am absolutely dedicated to doing the work necessary in Raleigh to make this happen.
Leslie Cohen is running for House District 20 in North Carolina. Leslie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.